Tell you what, today is the day for technical difficulties, at least on my end. Again, I gotta get this. I mean, it's, you never know what's gonna go wrong when you're trying to do something live. Let's say that right now. Right. But we are here, and it's Sunday, and it's Eagles preseason football on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Glad to be here on a Sunday. We'd like to do these during the preseason, like during the games or just afterwards, so that we can get it live while it's happening, because it is just preseason. It's not like we're just seeing what these guys got right now. In fact, as far as this game goes, we got really nobody out there for us except for the first series. You know, you had Quez out there and Rager and Boston Scott. But with me, as always, is Tubby. Glad to have you here. Hope you had a great week and ready to talk some Eagles football. You got me?
Yeah, man. Oh, I didn't know if you were bringing me in. I didn't know. I still heard the music up a little bit. I wasn't really sure.
I was bringing it down. Nah, it's, yeah, it's fighting. My computer's fighting with me today, so I'm like, I'm having a lot of fun with the mouse.
Yeah, man. Hey, it's preseason for everybody, right?
You know, I guess.
For podcasters as well, getting ready to get into the mood of the season, man. But, you know, like you said, man, just watching the birds, you know, first half, not a whole lot, you know. Minshew was out there doing his thing. He almost threw a pick. But other than that, he's been, you know, keeping it real solid, man. Nice little 5 to 7 yard throws. And Boston Scott killing it between the tackles, man. So, you know, we kind of know what we knew last year, that we can run between the tackles and then we can throw short passes. So nothing new kind of under the sun. How you feel about the offense, man, starting out?
Well, yeah, I really would have liked to get some more of Jalen Hurts, just that first-team offense, just again. I would love to see that first-team offense versus the first-team defense, just see where we're at, because it really was encouraging last week against the Jets for them to come out like they did on fire and just have a great offensive, great defensive series. So a little deflated today, knowing that they weren't going to be anybody be out there. But yeah, I tell you what, it was pretty cool to see Boston Scott out there making, you know, like he does, our little resident Yoda dude, baby Yoda, Boston Scott. That's one of my favorite pictures of Boston Scott. This was early in his career. He is adorable. But you know what? He is a dynamo. It's nice to have him backing up Miles Sanders, because we've seen what he does when Sanders gets hurt, and which is probably going to happen. It usually tends to do so. So it's nice to have him there. And Gainwell showed some flashes in the end of the first quarter and into the second quarter and got a touchdown. So it's nice to see those backup backs again against backups of the Browns' defense, but still to see them being able to do some things on the field. That's the best takeaway from this game, I mean, so far. I mean, we're about 4 minutes until the halftime, and it's 14-10. Eagles, does the final score matter? No, it doesn't. It's really, we're here to just to see what these backups can do. I can say this: our backup D is not good. You know, a lot of them is a unit, and that's one thing that I would say. And I would get your opinion on this. When I look at Gannon's defense, and you see if he doesn't have horses, if he doesn't have playmakers, does that scare you at all? Because I am trying to get the regular screen up, but again, my mouse is just absolute garbage. But trying to get rid of that slide on the screen.
Yeah, you don't, you're saying like you don't believe the scheme is there. He's just lucky to have talented talent.
Yeah. So the thing for me is the scheme, when you put average players out there, it's not capable of stopping anyone. I mean, there wasn't a single positive play for that defense, except I noticed Joby made a play when the running back came out and tried to go left, and there was nobody there. It was like a little, you know, like a slide screen, and he made a stop. But that was it. That was the only good play on our defense in the first couple of series, And I think it has a lot to do. It just worries me when I see a scheme that's so, you know how I feel about Gannon's scheme. I think with horses, you know, with good playmakers, I think it could work. But if we get any injuries to our defense, I think I'm gonna, you know, be biting my fingernails pretty good, waiting to see what happens.
Nah, man, I'm following you there, man. I was just looking at a couple of these Deion Kane catches from Minshew. He got a nice little rapport going there. But, you know.
Yeah, they're right on the goal line.
Yeah, they're right on the 1 yard, 2 yard line. So third and goal, 2 yard line. RPO, Huntley backs out, loses 2 yards for a fourth and goal. They might as well just go for it. But and throw a nice little short ball. Might as well throw it back to Deion Kane, man. He's looking pretty good this game. But you know, to let me back up a little bit to your Hurts point. You know, you said you wanted to see that's a face mask there. You said you wanted to see Hurts. Like you know what I think? You know, this is just a little theory. You know, he's been wheeling and dealing at practice against in the scrimmages against the Browns, him and Devontae Smith. You know, you see a lot of highlights of them just cooking the Browns. I wonder if Sirianni looked at the camp, you know, against their ones, right? Even though it's a scrimmage, but it's against their ones. They were cooking. Take the 6-for-6 nice drive from last week, and he go, you know, can I spare Jalen a week? And I think that was just my theory as to why we probably didn't see Jalen. Now, Jalen getting picked off a lot, you know, just having an overall terrible scrimmage with the Browns, then, yeah, probably we probably would have seen him out there for a few series. But, nah, man, it looked like the Eagles were not in no way, shape, or form worried about this game at all with all those backups. But scheme-wise with Jonathan Gannon, man, I don't know, because last week I thought the ones played well. You know, I thought Dean got there. I thought our defense played well with our ones in. So, you know, they gave it the big play to Dobbs. That was really it. You know, right. You know, Dobbs like still 2-for-4. So it's not like they gave it that one big play, and that was a sack. So that's just a really poor tackle, which they don't do a lot of hitting in camp now. So a lot of these guys haven't been tackling that at 100%. Because everybody's just being respectful and wants to stay healthy. So I just think if that's a Hassan Reddick, a Fletcher Cox, that's a sack. You know, and they're not even rolling down the field like that. It was just a good play and just made a good play and even ran it in for the touchdown afterwards as well, too. So,
yeah,
you know, as far as that goes, man, I don't know yet. But last week, the scheme looked pretty good, man. I was a little disappointed. I did want to see more birds. With this game, man, I did want to see a little bit more. I thought it was, you know, having such a young team, I thought, you know, get as much snaps as you can. So what you think, man? You think they're just really high in practice then? For us to see almost none of our starters.
Right.
I understand Smith because he's been having some nagging injuries, so I get it. But, man, for a team that just got put together a little bit, you know, just still growing together in this offense. Thought they should have got more snaps, man. What you think?
I think you make a really good point on the fact that because they practice with these guys all week, that makes total sense. That maybe he's seen all he needs to see. We don't get to see it as fans. Nick's seen enough to not bring him out there for this game where they could potentially get hurt. I am more happy with our starters getting to the regular season without the injuries that are befalling other teams in the NFC East. You know, most notably the Cowboys. So it's nice that we're not there yet. We've got some guys that are banged up. You know, Devontae is taking it easy, and Jason Kelce is resting up, and we got a lot of Cam Jurgens in there. So I think it's smart. It's just disappointing as a fan. I would love to have seen it because I'm not there at camp to be able to see it like Nick is. So I can't fault that. On the defense side of the ball, yeah, the Dobbs was, you know, run is pretty much the biggest play, but I just their defense kind of or their offense kind of running at will down the field. Of course, the Eagles are doing the same thing. You got a backup D. I don't know. I think I'm just shell shocked over Gannon last year, and it's hard for me to think he's going to be any better. I do think with Bradbury and Slay at corner and Maddox in the slot, and I think that it's going to be hard to screw that up, and especially the linebacking core that we got. And the front seven. I mean, it's just the team is stacked. If only Gannon can screw it up. If he runs a non-aggressive scheme like he did last year, where he's backing everybody up, like, you know, like Schwartz did, that we're gonna have problems, because you can't play that way in this league. You just can't. The good quarterbacks, like we saw last year, and we saw it all the time, will eat you alive if you play like you're afraid of them. We talked about it all season. Brady killed him because Brady knows you're afraid of him. You're afraid of what he can do to you. So you play everything underneath, and what does he do? He picks you apart for 500 yards all underneath. You know, we can't do that this year. So watching the defenders today get run all up and down the field, granted it's second, third string, it just gives me that little flashbacks, that PTSD of the defense from last year. And I'm like, I don't like seeing the defense run on like that. And I'm just like, keep it under control, repeating to myself, it's only the third string. It's only the third string. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. You know,
one of my concerns is that I know we talked about the Browns in the practice. I guess I'm belaboring this, but when you see Patrick Mahomes play into the second quarter yesterday,
right? Yeah.
And Hurts doesn't even touch the field. Man, I wonder if that's for like media stuff. Like, okay, Jalen's having a good camp. He's having a good preseason. We don't want, you know, it's like everybody's just waiting for him to make a mistake so they can pile on him. He's 6-for-6 right now. He had a good scrimmage against the Browns. Let's just sit him down, because it makes no sense, man. But then you have other teams that still haven't really played their starters either. So I don't know. But seeing Patrick Mahomes out there in the second quarter yesterday, still wheeling and dealing, I was like, this is the work that we need to be putting in with this new offense. You know, if somebody gets hurt, man, hey, as the former prime minister of England said, them's the breaks. Them's the breaks.
True.
If it happens, it happens, literally and figuratively. But them's the breaks if you catch an injury. But chemistry, man, they must be having a hell of a camp. That's, guess that's all I can say, Lee. They must be having a hell of a camp.
You know, if that drive against the Jets showed us anything, it was that they are playing well together. And they, you know, we didn't get to see a Hurts to AJ pass yet. In live game, that's coming. It could come, next week against the Dolphins. Who knows? But yeah, that was disappointing not to see him at all. And if Mahomes would have gotten hurt in the second quarter, then people would have been like all over Andy Reid for playing him out there. But you're right. It is preseason. They're going to be taking it easy. They should. I know that maybe that Jalen Hurts getting that cheap shot by Williams in the Jets game kind of made everybody go, okay, well, maybe we hold him out. It'll be interesting to see what they do against the Dolphins next Saturday night and see if they do play the starters, because it's their last chance, and then you got 2 weeks off before the season starts. They've got to play, at least in my opinion, like the old days in the last preseason game. Well, it was always the third preseason game. The fourth one was always meaningless. So the third preseason game was always you play your starters almost a half, if not the whole half. So it'd be interesting if they don't play the full gambit of starters all through the first half next week against the Dolphins. But hey, it is what it is. So it is preseason. You know, my only gripe about this game, it's right now 14-10. It's fine. It's going to be halftime soon. Yeah, it's going to be halftime soon. My only gripe is that I'm stuck watching the local Cleveland broadcast. I wish I had better. They had a better announced crew. That's about it in the local broadcast, because they keep cutting in for the weather. I mentioned this before we came live, is I have a phone. I don't need you to tell me every 5 seconds that there are thunderstorms nearby. If it's a tornado, then that you can cut in. But if you keep interrupting my game to let me know that it's raining, I can look out the window and see that it's raining. I have my phone. I don't need all that stuff. So they keep interrupting this game for rain, I'm going to lose my mind, but that's about it. I ranted much more offline before we went on.
I feel you. Like I said, luckily I'm watching it on the NFL Network, so it's just, you know, you don't get any local regional type of weather reports or anything like that. It's just strictly, but it is the Browns broadcast, so it is right now they're interviewing Myles Jarrett.
Yeah,
Garrett.
Yeah, watching
over there too. So I guess same thing, man. I don't know. He's good on Madden. I just picked up that Madden 23. A little quick pause. Right. I mean, we just freestyle here. I picked up that Madden 23, And man, I was running with the Chargers, man, Bosa and Khalil Mack.
I get it like every other year, every like 2 years, because it doesn't change enough for me to get it every year. Plus, I don't play it as much as I used to back in the day. So
me either, that's man. Good. I haven't played Madden in so long. And then a buddy of mine out here told me to pick it up. I said, whatever, man. Right. I'm waiting on FIFA to come out anyway. And so I said, well, I'll wait for FIFA. I'll play a little Madden and ran off. So far, I'm 4-0. So Outkast, if you're listening, he is in the Fantasy Football League as well, too.
Yes. Hey, you know what? I was thinking about that. Speaking of fantasy football, our draft is next Saturday.
Right.
During the Eagles game. Did you plan that on purpose?
No. That's definitely like, a faux pas on me, man.
I was like, the Eagles are playing Saturday. It's 7. No, it isn't Saturday. No. You're wrong. My bad. I take it back. Next Saturday is the game. You set the draft up for the following Saturday. I think it's the 2nd of September. There's no games that weekend. So we're good.
Right.
We're good.
Right. Yeah, there shouldn't be anything going on.
Yeah.
It for like after the preseason.
You did set it for Saturday at 7, but not next Saturday. It's the weekend after. I'm sorry, my bad. Because I don't know where my brain is thinking right now. But
we have those overseas guys.
Right.
And I just wanted to make sure that they were able to have a draft this year, because you know most of the time these guys are in the Pacific, guys in Guam and our guys out there in Japan, they missed a few of the previous drafts just due to the time. So
yeah, that's never good. Auto drafting is never good. Never.
Right.
So I was actually thinking it's something to consider, because we've got next weekend is the Dolphins game, we'll cover that, and then the weekend after that being there's no football and just the fantasy draft. I'm thinking about live streaming our fantasy draft, just showing our picks as we go through and sharing our teams. I mean, what else we got to do? I mean, there's nothing going on. We're waiting for Eagles football to start. Let's just do it. Let's do a fantasy draft and have a good time. Why not? Have some drinks. Well, I probably won't. Last time I fantasy drafted with drinks, it didn't go well for me. You know, you pick up a kicker in the 4th round or something like that. I go for Tucker or somebody like that.
Let's do it. I'm with it.
All right, let's do
it. I'm with it. You know, I'm starting to think about it for them. Like, why not? Why not?
I'll give you a preview right now. I saw that I had the 3rd pick, which I'm excited about, but I'm in that no man's land. A little fantasy preview here. So you've got Taylor, which is obviously going to be the number 1 pick for most people. Most sane people are going to take Taylor. And then most leagues or most prognosticators in the fantasy world say McCaffrey is going to be number 2. Mm-hmm. And then you get into my pick, number 3, and it's either Austin Eckler or Derrick Henry. And so I'm in that which way does he go? Because the thing is for me, and I'm not asking for advice, you can give it if you'd like. Make sure you give me honest advice. Don't tell me who you want me to pick. Tell me who you think I should pick. Because Eckler is one of those guys that where he's great out of the backfield. You know he's going to catch a lot of passes from Herbert. It's going to affect his value in our league. But he's not as powerful or a runner as Henry. He doesn't take over games like Henry can. He can disappear in games that I've noticed when I've had Eckler in the past. Now, granted, this is a whole different scheme, so this is a better Eckler than 2 years ago. And Henry, other thing that you really have to worry about is if he gets injured, because you know he's going to get carries. That offense is built on him. So my initial look at that when I'm thinking, okay, now, hey, if the guy's in front of me, drop the ball and don't draft Taylor or McCaffrey, you can believe I'm picking one of those guys up. But if those two guys are off the board and I'm left with Eckler or Henry, I'm probably going to go Henry just for that constant pounding that they give him and the breaks that he gives you every week.
Yeah. Stuff. Well, here's a fun fact for you about Eckler.
Yeah.
No running back in the NFL last year had more touchdowns than Eckler. He was tied. It's a trick question because he was tied with Jonathan Taylor. So if people want to draft Jonathan Taylor, overall productivity, Eckler was right there with the touchdowns, and you know he had more catches than Jonathan Taylor last year. So
yeah,
I'm just comparing them all the same. They both crossed pay dirt about 20 plus times last year. So These guys are the same, man. So,
if you were in my shoes, who would you take? Would you take Eckler or Henry? And be honest.
Well, personally, I would probably take Henry. Okay. I drafted Henry last year, and before he got hurt, I mean, he was a monster.
Right.
I mean, he was Henry. I mean, I call him mine. He was Derrick Henry. he himself is his own thing, you know. I have the 9th pick. In the draft, man. And I'm really excited about it, actually, because I get the 9th and the 12th pick.
Right.
I get two top 12 picks, you know. That's good. Last time I checked, that's pretty good. Yeah. So I had the number one pick before, and I picked McCaffrey, and he got hurt.
I've never minded picking 7th, 8th, or 9th in a 10-man league. Because you get that double dip, you come right back. So you got to be quick. Now, mm-hmm. I've always not liked picking 10th because depending on the clown or the clock, I could be thinking about my picks and then somebody at 9 takes one of my two picks and now I'm scrambling and you always make a bad decision when you're rushing. If you don't have everything all ready to go, even if you do, I've been in drafts where I've had everything laid out and then, boom, my guy comes off the board because somebody's thinking like me, and I got two picks to make in 5 minutes. Dude, you're going to make a mistake. So I like the 9th, and then you got two picks, and then you got time to think before you have to make another pick.
Right, exactly. So I, the person, another fun fact, the person that won the league last year, A. Will, he was the 9th pick in the draft last year. So maybe it's number nine is also known as a striker, a scorer. Hopefully I'll have some. I've been doing some mock drafts, man, and according to Yahoo, I'm doing terrible. I got a C minus and two Bs from Yahoo draft grades. So right now, I need help. I shouldn't be giving out advice to anybody. I need help.
With those grades, I've had really bad grades on those and then won my league, so I don't usually trust that. They're going by where they rank the players and what you get out of those. I mean, it really comes down to where you're drafting and what value you get, and that cannot be determined until the end of the season because of injuries and because of these guys that come out of nowhere that, especially the rookies that you take a chance on in the 4th and 5th round, or later on to solidify your team just to fill those gaps where you may have drafted running back heavy and now you need a rookie wide receiver and then he blows up and becomes, like Justin Jefferson his first year, that kind of thing.
Since we're talking about that, I drafted Justin Jefferson his rookie season. I drafted Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I drafted Patrick Mahomes in like the 10th round or something like that. Our year before he became a starter. And then by the end of the season, people were like, I cannot believe you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback.
And you probably got a grade on Yahoo when you drafted. Yeah,
that's a good point. But right now, Yahoo is not making me feel comfortable about anything that I'm doing. According to them, this is I should just auto draft and let them take care of it according to Yahoo Sports.
What is the difference between Tubby and Howie Roseman? Tubby drafted Justin Jefferson. That's the big difference right there. Howie drafted Jalen Reagor, baby. You know what's funny is that you talked about earlier, you came in the week and you talked about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside being traded to Seattle, and it just made me giggle because I'm like, that's the guy we drafted over D.K. Metcalf, and now Seattle's got both of them, so... And not like J-Jaw is going to be there very long. He had nothing to offer us. I think the funniest thing I saw on J-Jaw was that Seattle put together a 30-second highlight reel. I'm like, that's the only 30 seconds that he ever has in his entire playing career in Philadelphia.
One touchdown.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just remember his first play when the drop right at the goal line where he could have won the game for us, and it was right in his hands, and he dropped it. So it's like, yeah, Howie's made some bad moves. But Tubby, he drafted Justin Jefferson. And Howie did not. So good on you. Let's talk a little Eagles. Back to the game. It's getting ready to go to halftime. But it's Cam Jurgens' birthday. So Beef Jurgi, our new center, who's having a great preseason out there again for Kelce. And I was, he got called for an ineligible downfield, but that's that position. I expect that every once in a while out of that center because he's so mobile. But man, nothing but raves about Cam Jurgens out of camp, and I love it. I love the fact that we've got two guys this year at that position that can pull and open holes for the running backs. And you can honestly believe watching Opetta, Driscoll, and Jurgens open the right side for Boston Scott on that first drive, and those are our backups. That's very encouraging on that offensive line. A lot of depth on the offensive line for Philly. What do you think about Cam?
Nah, man, happy birthday to Cam. Cam Jurgens. But yeah, man, he's been putting in work, man. This is what we were talking about like a little bit earlier with basically the reps. Right now, he's getting a ton of reps. It's talking about being Kelsey's replacement. This guy is getting a ton of reps. So this is a good thing, man. He's playing well. You know, nobody has manhandled him like Jordan Davis yet. So that's a good thing. So yeah, man, keep getting your reps. And as always, he's Nebraska, so go Big Red.
Right.
All the time, baby.
Not me in particular. You know, I'm not a big Nebraska fan, but we know you are.
I got you.
So yeah. I'm glad we got Cam though. Speaking of Jordan Davis, I don't know if you saw this quote came out this week. And talking about our line, and not just our offensive, but our defensive line, both sides of the ball, man, we've got some beef in the trenches this year. And you've got Lane Johnson said earlier this week at practice, looking at Jordan Davis, Jordan Mailata, and Landon Dickerson together on the sideline. He was like, those sons of bitches are from the Jurassic period. We got Chris Pratt's going to come out onto the field, put his hand up on those guys and control them to get them through the line. It's great stuff to know that we've got guys like Dickerson and Mailata anchoring the line. And again, because we're talking about the backups, you know, Opetta and Cam Jurgens, but you're looking at the starters. I mean, wow. It's the depth is unbelievable. If we can't dominate the line of scrimmage, I think it's one of those things. A lot of people don't expect Miles Sanders going back to fantasy to have a huge fantasy year this year. Just he's not really showing any buzz, mainly because he's had a few injuries, and he's not shown the flash that like a Barkley does. But we've watched a lot of Miles Sanders and know what he's capable of in the field. And yeah. I think if you have 100% healthy line, he's going to benefit from that. If he does stay healthy, which I think he has the potential to do this year, Miles Sanders could be a really good fantasy sleeper, in my opinion.
Yeah, sleeper is the key point there.
Yeah.
Sleep. Because if you look at Miles Sanders, he's missing his best ability. And for fantasy football owners, that is your availability. Mm-hmm. So if he can't be on the field, if you can't trust him, then he's always going to be drafted in the later rounds. We know he has the potential, but he can't stay on the field, man. More than you look at any of his really good games, they always end with some type of injury. Or you're praising him throughout the week, and then you're like, he's not playing the next game. What happened? Hamstring, groin? It's like, you know, there's always some type of nagging injury with Miles Sanders. We know he's a good talent. You know, he's a good back, and he can be a high volume back in this offense. If we seen what Bart Scott did today, where he went run, and caught a pass from Minshew in the first like three or four. I think the first three touches went to Scott. Two runs and a pass.
Right.
You can see Miles Sanders right there in that same role. And if you're a fantasy owner, you know, you gotta get the first three touches of the game, you're happy.
Yeah.
Man, Miles Sanders can definitely be a sleeper.
And you can pocket Boston Scott too, just in case.
That's true.
And another one just to speak of, which we have to keep an eye on. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about Howie Roseman sitting there on the side talking to Kareem Hunt, who's wanting out of Cleveland. And this year, during the joint practices, he was spotted chatting with Howie. And you never know. You never know. He wants out of there, and we need a backup to Sanders. And granted, we love Scott, but no one in their right mind is going to turn down bringing somebody like Kareem Hunt into the Eagles in that role, and a potential starter role. I'd keep an eye on that as well. So you never know. Yeah, the Eagles have gone to halftime. So we're, still 14 to 10? I can't see the score from here. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it's still there.
I think it's 14-13.
Did they get a field goal? I missed it right before that.
Field goal. Yeah, we had a good stop. It was like 1 second left. And I think they, I didn't even see the last play. So I don't even know if they actually got a field goal or not.
You know, the thing is it's a lot like that Jets game. You know, they came out, score a couple touchdowns, and then their backup defenses just kind of let the other team hang around, eke around. So even if they lose this game, it's not that big a deal. But so we're just about out of time. We're just going to get out of here in a little bit. But I do want to discuss one of my favorite segments we haven't done in a while, and that is... I saw this meme this week and it cracked me up, and I had to share it for our Health to the Nah. It's got just a couple of your typical Cowboys fans, and I have a lot of friends who are Cowboys fans, so I don't mind sharing this because I know them. And it says, Cowboys fans, dudes that root for the Cowboys close the refrigerator door with their hip and say, boop. And it's just, so it may not be the funniest to some people, but when you visualize that, and I'm like, yeah, that's definitely with a Cowboys.
Brisket, with a brisket in his hand.
Well, yeah, the brisket thing's good. I'm just talking about the boop. It's that little effeminate. Boop,
that's why your hands are full, because you got a whole brisket in your hand. That completes the visual. You got a brisket. Right, that they probably took their brisket out to reheat for the game, and they went whoop, whoop. just like good Cowboys fans do.
If you're carrying a brisket, you got to do something more manly than boop. But it's funny. Sure. People who come up with these things crack me up. I saw another one this week that was if a woman sleeps with 10 guys, she's a slut. But if a dude does it, he's a Cowboys fan.
It's like everything can end.
That's brilliant.
They could be the end of any joke.
Exactly. That's my favorite. I think we could do a season this year of just Cowboy memes for Hell to the Gnaw, and I'd be perfectly fine with that. One last thing to discuss. This is just some minor news that came out this week, and I just thought it was kind of cool to bring up. Chris Long, you know, has been retired, was with us in the Super Bowl championship. He teased a potential comeback. He just basically told a reporter, hey, if I was just a fan and somebody said, hey, you get to play in the NFL, I'd be like, yeah, why not? I've already done it. And if somebody's desperate enough to give me a call in November, I think I got a few good disruptions in me still. And so what do you think about Chris Long as like coming off the bench every once in a while, edge rusher like he did? He's not going to start. He may not even play maybe 4 or 5 snaps all game. But if the guy is signing for like the league minimum just to come out off the bench for the Eagles in a championship run, I'd probably take a flyer on that guy. He's a beast just for the intensity alone.
Absolutely. That's a good point right there. The intensity that Chris Long brings. Yeah, man. I mean, this guy won back-to-back Super Bowls, man. One with the Patriots, one, and then came over with LeGarrette Blount. Always shout out to LeGarrette Blount, because he was such a key factor for us, man, especially in the playoffs. If you look back, I know Nick Foles did his thing in the Super Bowl, but LeGarrette Blount held it down. For us on that Super Bowl run in the playoffs. I mean, he was a man amongst boys, man. But yeah, man, shout out to Chris Long.
I'm wearing a Jai today, too. So that's the Super Bowl patch one. When they brought a Jai in and you had the 1-2 punch, clearly made a huge difference for us. We got those guys right at the right times in their career. They both played excellent. And LeGarrette, I'll never forget that game against San Diego where LeGarrette Blount just took over the game, on the road and, in a dogfight. And they couldn't stop him. He was just that grind it out. He had a couple of really big carries, but most of his carries were just those 3 yards, just hard nosed, bam, hit the line.
The plays that we needed, at the right time, man. And I'm telling you, look at that playoff run. You watch the highlights from that playoff run. You'll see LeGarrette Blount, just making the plays that we needed, man. So underrated during that Eagles run.
Agreed. Yeah, yes, so sir. If Chris ever wants to come back, I'm sure he'll be more than welcomed by all the fans in Philly. But, that's one of those things that, that's probably unlikely to happen. But if it did, no one would cry. So coming up for the Eagles, we've got one more preseason game after this one, and there's still a half to play in this one. And that's going to be at Miami. The Eagles will have a lot of fun going down to Florida and enjoying the sun and being on a Saturday night at Hard Rock Stadium. I wonder what that after party will be like after that game on a Saturday night in Miami. Yeah, yeah, they're going to shower, and I only hope we don't have any players get suspended out of that weekend. Right. That's almost as bad as going to Vegas on a Saturday night for a game. Oh, but it's going to be fun, and so we'll be here to cover that next week. And then the week after, we'll do the live fantasy football stream. And then after that, we got the opener, week one, September 11th, Sunday at Ford Field against the Detroit Lions. And I watched this past week, and I'll do it again this week, I watched all of the preseason games. I watched the first quarter, I should say, and sometimes a half, just because I wanted to see the starters, and I wanted to gauge how the teams were doing. And I will say this about the Lions, that I thought that their offensive line is much improved. We'll do a full preview, but just from what I've seen in the preseason with their starters, I thought Goff looked a little bit more in command of the offense. They've got a couple of good receivers out there now. DJ Chark is with them, so he has a few targets. They got Hockenson.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and then DeAndre Swift actually had a really good game, you know, in that preseason game last week. And it was against the Falcons, who are just horrible. They lost Matt Ryan. They're bringing in Mariota as their starter this year. So Detroit can look good against the Falcons. I think a lot of teams would, but I do think that Detroit will be much improved on offense. But defensively, they really just don't have a lot. So I think that game, because it's the opening game for the Eagles, I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle in maybe the first quarter, second quarter. But I think it's something the Eagles could open up in the second half. Because I just don't think the Lions' defense is going to give much of a fight.
Yeah, man, I think if you are going to have an opener against any team, man, and an away game, you know, the away games are precious in the NFL. You know, they can make or break, you know, some games, man, or a whole season, who you play away. And so to go into Detroit, first game of the year, against a very, very beatable opponent that we whooped the Lions last year. You know, they just didn't stand a chance. We ran all over them. So when we finally recognized we really have a solid run game, so hopefully it's deja vu all over again when it comes to that game. But yeah, man, you know, I think our team is clicking. I think we'll be able to run the ball between the tackles, which is super important for us. Like you said, all that granted that nobody gets suspended while down in Miami after the preseason game, because it's 2 weeks. I mean,
yeah,
you're a millionaire. You have 2 weeks before you got to go back to work. You know, technically, you may go ahead and show out a little bit, man. You know, because the season is about to start. You're in for a long haul, man. You're in for 18 grueling weeks. I can't imagine how it is for a person to play 18 NFL football games in a season, man. That is just impressive. So they know what they're in for. They know the discipline that comes with that day-to-day grind and the season and traveling and being back with your family, man. So anyway, man, I hope they do take this 2 weeks. Everybody just stays healthy, man, for the most part. But I don't even care if Jalen Hurts at this point doesn't even start against Miami, if I'm being honest, because it would suck to get hurt on the third game.
Yeah,
that would suck the most, in my opinion, man. So I don't care who the Eagles really tried out there. I think long as Sirianni knows what he has and can assess what his guys are doing best, man. At this point, you know, we got to trust the captain right now until proven otherwise. So.
Totally agree. I think that we'll see how it goes. I'd like to see them, just to see them get some continuity. I'm selfish for selfish reasons. But you're right. If they got hurt, it would ruin the whole season. They could get hurt in week one, too. You never know. But, yeah, let's at least get them to the regular season and see what happens. So I do think we got a lot of young guys that are going to have a lot of fun in Miami next weekend. So hopefully the veterans will take them under their wing and say, hey, let's back off on the strip club for right now. You know, Miami, I mean, I've been to Miami a few times. It is a fun place to go hang out. So hopefully it'll be a good game, and we'll get everybody back in Philly safely for the season. But, yes, hey, thanks for joining us another week, another preseason week for the Eagles right now. It is 14-3 at the start of the third quarter. So we're going to, like, get out of here and watch the second half of this game and enjoy the rest of our Sunday. If you want to send us a comment or a question or anything like that, you can always email us at lee.bird, that's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. We always welcome your suggestions. and anything that you want to say to the show or anything you want to hear us talk about on the show, we'd be more than happy to do that. So just shoot us an email. And don't forget, if you're watching the live stream on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch, you can always catch the podcast version and just download it from your whatever your supplier is, whether that's Spotify. We're on Spotify. We're on Amazon Music. We're on Podcaster Castro. There's just about every service we're on right now. So all you got to do is search Where Eagles Dare. You might want to throw in a Lee and Tubby in there too, and you'll be able to pull us up. I actually, around my house, I just say, I'm going to say it softly so that my Alexa doesn't say anything, but I always go, "Hey Alexa, play Where Eagles Dare podcast." And then it's always cool to hear her go, "Playing Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby on Amazon." And I was like, "That's awesome. I just love it." You know, it's good. And I listen to it while I do stuff around my house. So you can do the same thing. Get us anywhere out there. And we look forward to talking to you next week when we talk about the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. So until then, I'm going to turn it over to my boy Tubby.
Yeah, man. And just to kind of cap that off, when you do get there, like, subscribe, leave us a comment. If it's something that you want to mention, that you want us to mention on the show, or any way we can improve the show, or things you want to hear, or certain times you want us to go live, you know, let us know, man. But don't forget to like and subscribe, man. Get us pumping in an algorithm. Look out for short videos of us, Leor Tubby, you know, throughout the week, man. And just look for more content from us as always. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great week, everyone.